Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Technically, you're getting 2 days in history today because we're running two episodes from the History Vault. You'll also hear two hosts, me and Tracy V. Wilson. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to this day in history class from howstuffworks.com and from the desk of stuff you missed in history class. It's the show where we explore the past one day at a time with a quick look at what happened today in history.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson and it's January 16th. The 18th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified on this day in 1919. Several states ratified the amendment on that day, but it was Nebraska that gave the amendment the necessary 36 states required to be ratified. This followed an ongoing movement for prohibition. There were a lot of concerns about drunkenness and crime, and a lot of the most vocal and visible members of this movement were women, a lot of them women who were personally affected by alcohol abuse. They were being physically or emotionally abused by husbands who were drunk, or they were in situations where their husbands weren't supporting the family because of drink. This was also connected to religion. The Second Great Awakening had spurred religious revival all over the United States, and that led to an increase in the idea that drinking was sinful. Individual states had started passing laws regulating or prohibiting alcohol starting in 1838. Some of the most famous people and organizations in this movement were the Women's Christian Temperance Union and the Anti-Saloon League. There was also Carrie A. Nation, who became famous for smashing up saloons with a hatchet. Between the mid-1800s and the early 19-teens, as this advocacy went on, more and more states passed laws prohibiting alcohol. It started to become part of platforms when people ran for office. Dry candidates supported prohibition, while wet candidates opposed it. In 1916, dry candidates won a significant majority in the U.S. Congress, and they got to work writing a constitutional amendment. In 1917, that 18th Amendment passed both houses of Congress and was sent to the states to ratify, which brings us to January 16th of 1919, when it was ratified by the required 36 states. Here is Section 1 of the amendment, quote, "After 1 year from the ratification of this article, the manufacture, sale, or transportation of intoxicating liquors within the importation thereof into, or the exportation thereof from, the United States and all territory subject to the jurisdiction thereof for beverage purposes is hereby prohibited." Section 2, quote, "The Congress in the several states shall have concurrent power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
And Section 3 gave a deadline of 7 years for ratification by the states so that the amendment couldn't just sit there forever, awaiting ratification if it did not get enough. That legislation that was described in Section 2 came along later in 1919 with the National Prohibition Act, also known as the Volstead Act. Industrial, medical, and sacramental uses of alcohol were still allowed. That's why the molasses vat that we talked about yesterday was still necessary for making industrial alcohol. But in almost all cases, alcohol for just personal consumption was banned. When prohibition went into effect the following year, though, it was a huge failure. It did not reduce crime, it increased crime. Speakeasies, which were illegal places to consume alcohol, sprouted up everywhere. Bootlegging, which was already pretty popular for people who wanted to evade taxes, became more widespread. Criminal enterprises formed to support the illegal production of alcohol, and some of the most famous names in organized crime were part of all this, including Al Capone. And because the alcohol was being produced illegally by people who needed to get it done out from under the watchful eye of any law enforcement, the end result was often dangerous or even poisonous. By the late 1920s, people had started calling for a repeal of the 18th Amendment. And then after the start of the Great Depression, those calls got a whole lot louder. The 21st Amendment repealed the 18th Amendment and the legislation that had followed it, and that was ratified in 1933. That makes the 18th Amendment the only amendment to the U.S. Constitution that was successfully ratified but then later repealed. There is more to this in a whole lot of episodes from Stuff You Missed in History Class, including How Prohibition Works from December 15, 2008, A Brief History of Moonshine from October 26, 2015, and a two-parter on Carry a Nation on July 24 and 26, 2017. We've also talked about people who tried to repeal prohibition, including Pauline Sabin on February 12, 2018. Thanks to Casey Pegram and Chandler Mays for their audio work on the show. You can subscribe to the Stay in History Class on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you get podcasts. Tune in tomorrow for the overthrow of one nation's last and only queen.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles. Podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangster rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steels every Thursday. Each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangster rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangster rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Eves, and you're tuned into This Day in History Class, a show that takes history and squeezes it into bite-sized stories. The day was January 16, 1362. A massive southwesterly Atlantic gale, known as St. Marcellus's Flood or the Grote Mandrake, hit the British Isles, the Netherlands, northern Germany, and Denmark. It resulted in at least 26,000 deaths. The event is also known as the Second St. Marcellus Flood, since a similar disaster happened on January 16th in 1219. St. Marcellus's Flood took place during what some climatologists now call the Little Ice Age. This period wasn't an actual ice age. The term, coined by geologist F. E. Matt, refers to a climate interval after the medieval warm period when mean annual temperatures declined and the weather was unstable. Though climatologists and historians disagree on the exact span of the period, by many definitions, the so-called Little Ice Age lasted from the 14th century to the mid-19th century. Around the 12th century, a series of large storm surges started occurring in the North Sea. By this time, though, Europeans were already familiar with storm surges caused by the gales of extratropical cyclones. An extratropical cyclone is one that forms in the middle or high latitudes. These cyclones are driven by temperature contrast in the atmosphere, where two air masses meet and create a front. Though tropical cyclones create higher storm surges and get a lot of attention, extratropical cyclones cover larger geographical areas. These storms led to the loss of valuable land and forced communities to relocate. Europeans could not predict when the next flood would happen, but they did build coastal defenses to protect against big storms and reclaimed land from the sea using innovative techniques. The Low Countries, including the Netherlands, Western Germany, Denmark, Belgium, and Northern France, were particularly vulnerable to storm surges and destruction. The first St. Marcellus flood that occurred in 1219 drowned an estimated 36,000 people, mostly in West Friesland and Groningen, which are now locations in the Netherlands. In 1287, St. Lucia's flood killed more than 50,000 people in the Netherlands and northern Germany. This storm over the North Sea destroyed sand dunes and natural clay barriers that separated a lake in the northwest of the Netherlands from the sea. That turned the lake into a bay that became known as the Zuider Zee, or Southern Sea. Villages were wiped out, and Harlingen, a town that was landlocked, became a seaport. England was also affected by this storm surge. The second St. Marcellus flood was also devastating. It hit large parts of northwestern Europe on January 16, 1362. A southwesterly Atlantic gale swept across the British Isles, the Netherlands, northern Germany, and Denmark. High tides combined with the storm to flood large parts of the Low Countries. Rungholt, a port on the island of Strand in the Duchy of Schleswig, reportedly completely sunk into the sea. The city attained a sort of mythical status, with debate later rising over whether it ever even existed. The port of Ravenseraad in England was largely wiped out. The storm further opened the Zuider Zee to the sea, and around 60 parishes in Denmark were reportedly destroyed. The storm changed the shape of the Danish, German, and Dutch coastlines. The death toll of the flood has been estimated at least 25,000 people and up to 100,000, though the exact number is disputed. January 16th is the feast day of St. Marcellus, hence the name St. Marcellus's Flood. The storm also became known as Grote Mandrake, which means great drowning of men in Low Saxon. In the centuries after the storm, dikes were rebuilt and land was reclaimed from the sea, but massive storm surges continued to hit the region and reshape the land. I'm Eve Shefcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. Keep up with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCpodcast. Or if you are so inclined, you can send us a message at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow with another episode.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh?
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.